and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Pull up some dust and sit down.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Pedro Fernandez.
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37 years of radio knocking out all bums week after week. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. For the next 2 hours, we're talking combat sports, both boxing and MMA. Live on Sports Byline, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and like iHeartRadio and 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, we're rocking and rolling for 2 hours talking combat sports. You can join us on the toll-free as the Godfather Larry Merchant will be in the house in just a few minutes. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or you can hit us up on the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 1-415-275-1613. Studio text line, once again, the number, 1-415-275-1613. Well, in the world of the UFC, Khabib was dominant last night, as everybody expected. Justin Gaethje put up a good fight, but he was over in the second round. What can I say? I'm sort of tired of watching Khabib crawl and maul guys. That style of fighting is just not making it for me. We'll hear from Khabib a little bit later in this hour, but that style of fighting is just not making it for me. The UFC is grating on me more and more. Why am I saying that? I don't know. Maybe it's because boxing is making a comeback. Of course, King Teofimo Lopez, having slayed the myth that was Vasyl Lomachenko. And yes, he was a myth. The pound-for-pound great. Rating him up there with guys like Floyd Mayweather, Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard. They were talking all kinds of smack about this guy. You gotta be kidding me. Yes, he was a great amateur, but not a great pro. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. At 115 pounds Friday night, no big thing in my mind, because anybody fighting under 126 just doesn't get me up. I mean, these guys are fighting with 8-ounce gloves, but there were a lot of knockdowns involved, so Juan Estrada did get off the deck. He dropped Carlos Quadra a couple times in the final round. Of course, Estrada now 41-3, 28 knockouts. Also on the same card, Chocolito Gonzalez was the winner at 115 pounds. God, I wish that guy would sort of go away. He was the most overhyped fighter in the history of boxing. Of course, that was brought to us by Max Kellerboy. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. On the line from Santa Monica, the retired HBO godfather himself. A very good morning to you, sir, Larry Merchant.
Same to you, Pedro. I have a question.
Uh-oh.
Did you see that World Series game last night?
No, I was running around, but talk to me about it. Was it something?
It was one of the greatest games ever played, certainly in a World Series.
Okay.
It ended on a play that you couldn't make up. You couldn't make it up in a movie. You couldn't make it up in a game with kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the most amazing closing to a World Series games, I think, ever. I don't know how to describe it to you, but a kid who just got on the roster at the end of the season as a defensive replacement gets up with a two out in the ninth inning and a man in scoring position. And he gets a single, and people are running the bases, and people are throwing the baseball all over and all around, and it ends with this amazing young player. I can't think of his name even. Azarina, maybe, taking a tumble and then getting up and dives across home plate, and they win the game in the last inning on that play when two runs scored on a soft single. And the Dodgers throwing the ball around, basically two errors on the same play. And it was just something that I'll never forget.
Okay, a special special moment in sports history. Last weekend we had a special moment in sports history, of course, the changing of the guard at lightweight, Teofimo Lopez. Now his father says he's going to move up to 140 pounds. He's not going to fight anybody at 135. That's a negotiating ploy, right?
Well, his father is ahead of me, at least, and many others, as he has been for a while. I thought it would take a year or two before he moved up that he might clean out the lightweight division, get a couple of fights there. He's only 23, mm-hmm. but he's got a big frame, and there's no doubt that he can be a number one guy at 140, and then eventually move into the welterweight division.
Ooh, you know, that's funny. I was looking at a picture of myself and Bud Crawford the other day, taken about a year and a half ago in Cuba, maybe 2 years ago. And I'm very big. I was only 154 pounds at the time, but I am so much bigger than him, and he's fighting at welterweight, and I couldn't fight at welterweight because they were too big. So I think that Terrence Crawford has somehow missed the boat here. He doesn't seem to have the fan base. He doesn't see. What's missing there, Godfather?
Well,
Wichita?
for one reason or another, he doesn't have a major following. Back home in Omaha, he's a star, and he puts 14,000 people into the arena when he fights there,
mm-hmm.
but so he's fought out of there a lot, and whether it's just bad timing and who is on top and in the age of Pacquiao and so forth, he's been left behind. And why would you fight him unless you can make a lot of money? And how do you make a lot of money fighting a star in the ring who is not a star outside of the ring?
Okay.
I don't know if mistakes were made in the promotion of him, but Bob Arum had other fish to fry and promote, he got left behind.
Okay. I got to ask you this. I know we're going to spend one segment together, but I read a statement this morning from the White House Chief of Staff. His name is Mark Meadows. He used to be a senator. And he says, we are not going to control the pandemic. America is learning to live with it. I was sort of blown away by that, being a 62-year-old male with a prior asthma condition as a kid.
Well, they've decided that they, for her, what they call herd immunity, which means you just let everybody die who's going to die, and then you'll be fine. And it's astonishing that in this day and age, as science and medicine's professionals have always come to terms with these things, but it's a cynical view of the world, and it very likely will cost Trump his presidency. It's astonishing to hear that, you know, what they're saying is, oh, just forget this, we'll go back to work, and everything will be fine. Yeah, we'll have a few hundred people die every day or whatever, but we'll be okay. That's what their message is.
It's like 800 people to 1,000 now, and it's going to climb. I'm looking at, you know, I'm a guy that looks at numbers. I'm not an accountant per se, but I've always looked at numbers, and I've always looked at history and studied numbers and this and that. And the numbers don't look good here. This is going to come back. This is going to come back hard, harder than it did the first time. And it's really going to get scary. And with the government taking this, we are not going to control the pandemic. I mean, well, that's frightening.
Yeah, well, and we have a president who calls scientists idiots. And who's proving right? The president or the scientists?
Well, you and I know he's a buffoon, and that's not a knock on buffoons. I'm sorry, but
well, for a lot of people, that's what they want to hear, you know, so that they
What makes them want to defy death and look the devil in the eye?
Because they don't think it's going to happen to them, and the chances are it won't happen to individuals individually. And they don't want to alter the way they function in the world to stop this thing. They think of it as some kind of government suppression if they ask you to put on a mask. And they're true believers in Trump.
Last question. After the Vietnam War, I noticed the dumbing down of America, the increase in college fees. I mean, you used to be able to go to UC Berkeley for like, you know, $1,800 for an entire year, and now it costs you like $80,000, okay, or $100,000. So,
you know how much it cost me?
How much?
When I went to college?
How much?
$168.
Well, all right. well, you see my point here. The dumbing
That's
down of America.
History.
is this the result of the dumbing down of America that I saw in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s?
I don't know if that's it. We also see record numbers of kids going to junior colleges as well as college. But dumbing down is looking for some kind of,
They don't teach U.S. history. They don't teach U.S. history in Clinton school anymore. It's not a requirement.
Well, forget civics.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been polls that show how a third or more of the population, you know, can't name the different branches
of government.
and then when things go wrong, they blame the government.
Okay.
And the politicians have become more cynical than ever, and social media have entitled these anti-government types to find themselves all over the country and follow whatever they follow. So it's a time, but maybe we'll look back on this someday as a time when things changed and went back to normal in terms of how our national dialogue is handled. Hopefully that will be the start of something like that.
Okay, words
maybe
of wisdom.
Maybe people will have gotten tired of the division and a so-called leader who encourages it.
Okay. The bad news out of the way, let's talk good news for a second. Real quick, give me your Gervonta Davis, Leo Santa Cruz prediction next week. Showtime pay-per-view, October 31st, Halloween.
I think Davis will probably win by a knockout.
Is this all about size?
Yep. Well, it's not all about size, but I don't know why Santa Cruz is even in the ring with him.
That's what I keep saying, Godfather, because, you know, giving up all that weight to a guy that's a monster is not a good idea. Anyway, I hope you and the Godmama have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, and I'll talk to you soon, sir.
Same to you, Pedro. Have a good day.
The greatest, Larry Merchant on Sports Byline. What did you do to me?
Nobody hurt me, but I know who hurt you, bum, goofy. Remember this? Rowdy Romero f***ed you up in sparring. Is this you, Ryan Garcia? Is this you getting touched up? Is this you bleeding? Is this you running? Because it sure the f*** looks like you. Your promoter, Oscar De La Fishnet, don't even believe in you. Do you want proof? Here you go.
Ryan ready for take?
No. Oscar, I don't know, Tank is a beast.
Tank is a beast and you're an Instagram thot. Remember that.
Listen, Ryan Garcia wants to fight you.
No, the f*** he don't. He gonna get f***ed up.
If Ryan Garcia can beat Rolly, I give him 200,000 cash.
Are you ever gonna pick up that 200 from Floyd? Or do you want to stay ducking because you know you got little boys and little girls as your main fan base? You a bum.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I had no choice.
Okay, why am I slamming Ryan Garcia after, like, blowing him for so many reeks?
Well, you know, because he got to go the other way. In other words, I'm not, like, all biased for Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia's got a good following. He's a good-looking kid, talks a good game, can punch, no doubt about that.
Knocking that Nicaraguan out in the very first round, of course, with one left, took the last time, of course. And he slated, I think, to take on Luke Campbell. Luke Campbell's only lost to Vasyl Lomachenko. Speaking of Lomachenko, of course, Lomachenko's now saying, oh, A, Lopez was a little bit big and his arms are a little bit long. Really? Oh, you moved up in weight from 126 to 135 pounds, pal. In other words, when you were beating up guys who were smaller than you, it was cool. But once you found up, fessed up with a guy that was your size or bigger, bit of a problem. Well, he hit hard. No, really. That's what he was complaining about. He hit hard. And now he's trying to say that he entered the fight with a hurt shoulder. They ended up getting some type of injection for his shoulder, but he hurt his shoulder again in the second or the third round or something like that. Bottom line is Vasyl Lomachenko is looking for excuses. And I guess if I went 401 as an amateur and then I went like 14-1 as a pro, I guess I would be making excuses for myself losing too, because, you know, you really don't expect to lose. And you, I mean, 400, come on, man, that's like 415 fights. You've lost like two fights. Come on, that's one hell of a record. But he was an outstanding amateur, and that's what he is, an amateur, a fantastic amateur fighter. Hector Martinez and his guys, you know, they played up the fact he was able to chip down guys at 126, 130 pounds. He stepped up to 135. All of a sudden, Mr. Invincible got dropped by Jorge Linares. They tried to make excuses. Oh, Linares is a great fighter. Yeah, Linares ain't great. Linares won't be in the Hall of Fame. All right, anybody's Hall of Fame. Anyway, maybe the Mexican Hall of Fame. But outside of that, no. So what I'm trying to say is Linares drops him. Okay, he looks good against he looks really good against other guys. Hand-picked opposition. When you hand-pick guys, let me tell you, they don't fix boxing. They arrange boxing. What I'm trying to tell you is, you know, they get a guy that's like an 8 or a 9, and they put him in with a guy that's like a 4 or a 5. He has no chance. Much like Leo Santa Cruz next week. You heard Larry Merchant just talk about that. Of course, Santa Cruz, current champion at 126 pounds, I believe. Super featherweight world title. Of course, he holds the 130-pound championship, having last defended it in November of 2019 against Miguel Flores. Of course, a unanimous winner over 12 rounds. Outside of that, he's went to the distance in three of his four of his last five fights, so he's not a big puncher, including going the distance with Carl Frampton. He did knock out Chris Avalos. Outside of that, not a whole lot shining on Leo Santa Cruz's record, 37-1-1, 19 KOs. Now, across the corner, across the ring, the other guy, yikes. I mean, he's a monster. They call him Tank. They call him Tank for nothing. He rolls over people like tanks. 25 years old, of course, made his debut in 2013, a southpaw to boot that can punch out of Baltimore, Maryland, with a record of 22 KOs. 22 KOs. Of course, he's the bigger guy. He's a 135-pound champion. He's a guy that I have always say looks chubby, sort of like Adrian Broner, one of those guys that just doesn't dedicate himself, doesn't do 100% making the weight, sort of makes the weight in the sauna or the hot box or something like that. Anyway, I don't think he'll be able to do that this way. I think he'll have to train his way down to 130, maybe sweat off the last couple of pounds in the sauna, but he can't just rely on the sauna to make 130. I think if he does, he'll end up coming up a little bit weak, and that's where Leo Santa Cruz thinks there's an advantage for him. Good Lord, Leo. There is no advantage here for you. How Al Haymon counted you into this. Al Haymon's a promoter, premier boxing champion. He promotes both Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz. Well, guess what? Neither of them really had something big happening, so he puts them together. And this is sort of like sacrificing. I mean, this is like a sacrificial lamb. Davis needed a fight, so you throw Leo Santa Cruz at him. Leo Santa Cruz is going to get destroyed. I mean, Larry didn't say it, but I will say it. He's going to get destroyed. This southpaw from Baltimore, Maryland, is the real deal. And when you look at the rest of the 135-pound class, of course, we're talking about lightweights, and I just got done dogging my man Ryan Garcia. And, you know, I mean, listen, Ryan's got a hell of a following. A lot of girls, a lot of guys, Instagram, all that kind of good stuff. More power to him. And I think he's really got some talent. He's really got some ability. And he's got better command of the social world than Oscar De La Hoya did at this point in his career through 20-something fights. I'm just telling you, he just does. I mean, not as big a star as De La Hoya was, but he can sell out the Honda Center in Anaheim, California, like in a couple hours. That's 11,000 seats. And you're going through the rest of this 135-pound stack division, and it's not all that stacked once you get through, like, four or five names, okay? Let's go through the top 10. According to BoxRec, who's supposed to be independent and computer-rated, Jorge Linares, the aforementioned guy that dropped Vasyl Lomachenko, sort of exposing the young man to the fact that he is human, he is number 10. Ryan Garcia is number 9, of course, 20 in zip. Luke Campbell, 20 and 3. Of course, Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell are supposed to hook it up. Javier Fortuna is 20, 35, 2 and 1. He's a southpaw of the USA. He is number 7. Richard Comey is number 6. Of course, he was knocked out by Teofimo Lopez in two brilliant rounds about 6 or 8 months ago. Devin Haney, the email champion, the WBC. I don't know. What is he? He's a paper champion. Devin Haney, you're from my hometown. I got to dog you, and you're from my hometown. Good Lord, man. I mean, I thought he did the right move. He pulled out of the amateurs. He said, you know what? I'm not going to fight these chumps in these three-round fights. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to fight these amateur fights because they'll end up screwing me anyway, and the chances of me going to the Olympics, even if I've got the ability to be on that team, is somewhat questionable because you never know what the amateur boxing officials in this country are going to do. The only thing more a suspect than professional boxing, believe me, is amateur boxing. Anyway, I'm going through. Devin Haney's now 24-0, of course, orthodox fighter, fighting out of Las Vegas, originally born out of San Francisco, California. Hasn't done anything. Has no fan base. I mean, come on, Devin Haney. I mean, geez, who's going to watch Devin Haney fight? I mean, I know he can fight. Hector knows he can fight. A couple other people know he can fight a little bit. But outside of that, you know, 10 or 12 people, that doesn't make for some type of backing, much like Bud Crawford. Like we just mentioned him, the aforementioned Terrence Crawford, the WBO 147-pound champion. No following. None. And as you know, people say to me, well, maybe it's the black fighter syndrome. Ooh, what does that mean? Well, you know, the black fighter syndrome is that black fighters don't draw on their own unless they're superstars, much like Sugar Ray Leonard or something like that. Well, maybe that does apply to an extent. And maybe black fighters do have to work a little harder in order to get the attention and draw the fan base. But I think there is some merit to the fact that when I go through this top 10 here, there's nobody here outside of Davis that has a chance of beating Teofimo Lopez. Is Lopez going to stay at 135? I guess that's the big question, the $64,000 question. As far as Lomachenko is concerned, he wants a rematch. But get this, he wasn't smart enough to put it in the contract. He thought he was going to light Teofimo up. Him and his dad said, we don't need a rematch. Now you're begging for it, chump. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
To the nightclub, You can get what you want if you know how to line to the nightclub. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
Some East Bay soul, baby. Greg Adams and company. Greg was so cool. I remember Greg, he was in high school. He was playing, like, you know, these big gigs, these big concerts and that with this band, Tower of Power. And then before you knew it, he turned down the Joliet School of Music, joined Tower of Power full-time, and the rest is history. Now, of course, He is the leader of East Bay Solo. Check them out. They're holding these Friday night concerts for free on Facebook. So East Bay Solo is their website. East Bay Solo, of course. Man, Greg Adams is kicking that ass. Speaking of kicking that ass, well, no surprise, Khabib is still undefeated. Of course, Khabib knew Nurmagomedov. Of course, he world lightweight champ, 155 pounds. At least that's what he's supposed to weigh in. And there's a little controversy as to whether he made 155 pounds to be exactly. But the bottom line is they did sanction the weight. They sanctioned the fight at 155 pounds, of course, against Justin Gaethje. Gaethje came in at 22-2. Not surprisingly, he left about 6 minutes and 34 seconds later. Of course, it's 5 minutes around, meaning a minute and 34 seconds in to round number 2. He was, like, done with the triangle choke. Now, I felt bad for the kid because when they went back, he went back after the first round. He was beat up after the first round, and there was nothing they could tell him in the corner. I don't think I've ever seen that. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen it to the point where there's nothing I could tell you to do. I'm sending you out to be slaughtered. There's just no other way to put it. The bell rings or the gong goes off, and the bottom line is Gaethje gets off the stool, and a minute and 34 seconds later, he's tapping out. At the end of the night, Khabib's still like 29-0, 30-0, 100-0, never lost a fight, never lost a round, allegedly, in the American Kickboxing Academy. Remember, Kyle Kingsbury came on the show many, many years ago talking about this guy that came into the gym from Russia, this guy Khabib. He kept talking about this guy Khabib, and you know, Khabib this, Khabib that, and then, of course, bang, Khabib wins the most avoided lightweight for about a year, and then he wins the lightweight championship. And my knock on Khabib is not his ability to fight this and that, although I'm not a big fan of that laying on some guy and, like, tiring him out and wrapping his legs up and then beating him up and that kind of good stuff. To me, that's just that. I don't know. I'm just not into that. But what I did commend Khabib for was he has some good boxing. I mean, he used to box. I mean, I used to watch his hands, stand-up boxing, good combinations. Throws pretty good for an MMA fighter. So, and he can whack. When he punches you, you do feel it. But you gotta knock him for the fact that he wants to retire. I mean, he says he wants to retire, and of course, he's a guy that's been able to fight guys with a 15 or 20 pound weight advantage, and that's what kills me. He weighs in at 155, he steps into that cage around 175, maybe close to 180. We don't know exactly, but they got this weight of his down to a science to get him to 155. He's 155 or around there for just a minute, and then he's back up to, you know, come fight time, close to 180 pounds. And if you're 155-pound fighter like Justin Gaethje, who's probably going to walk into the cage maybe 8 or 10, maybe 8 pounds heavier later, maybe, you know, if he didn't cut all that kind of weight. But if he walks in at a normal weight gain, he's going to be at a severe disadvantage, and that's what these guys are all at against Khabib, a severe survives disadvantage, because he gets at 25, 30 pounds, and he lays on top of you like some type of gay sex. Bottom line is, I'm not a big Khabib fan, but here is Khabib post-fight.
Ladies and gentlemen, referee Jason Herzog has called a stop to this contest at 1 minute, 34 seconds of round number 2. Declaring the winner by technical submission due to a triangle choke and still undefeated and the UFC undisputed lightweight champion of the world, Khabib the Eagle Nurmagomedov. And
now, without question, the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world, 29-0, Khabib Nurmagomedov. The world is in awe of your greatness once again. I will give you as much time to gather your emotions, but I see your corner men taking the gloves off. Your thoughts on an epic championship performance tonight. Congratulations.
Alhamdulillah. First of all, I want to say alhamdulillah. God give me everything. Look at him. Thank you for these guys with me and with my father more than 20 years. All my team, aka with Coach Hav, I love him so much. All my team, oh, thank you. Today, I want to say, it was my last fight. And no way I'm going to come here without my father. It was first time when, after what happened with my father, when UFC called me about Justin, I talked with my father, my mother, 3 days. She don't want to go fight without father, but I promise her it's going to be my last fight. And if I give my word, I have to follow this. It was my last fight here. I know only one thing, what I want from UFC Tuesday. You guys have to put me on number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world because I deserve this. And UFC undisputed UFC lightweight champion, 13-0. 13 in UFC, 29 in all my pro MMA career, you know. Oh, I think I deserve it. And one more thing. I want to say thank you, Lorenzo, Fertitta. Thank you, Dana, Hunter, all guys. Thank you so much. And, of course, I don't forget about Joe Silva, who signed me here in UFC. Joe Silva, thank you. All this UFC team, everybody around the world, this all pandemic stuff they're doing. Great show, you know. Thank you so much, Justin. Justin, 2016, I remember when I cut weight, you helped me a lot. Thank you, brother. This is fight without cage. I know you're great, man. I know how you take care of your close people. I know a lot of things about you. Be close with your parents because one day it's going to happen something because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. You never know. And thank you, guys. Thank you, coach. I love you so much. My teammates, Ali Abdulaziz, Rizwan. Oh, alhamdulillah. Today is my last fight here in the UFC.
So as you put the gloves down, you do so as the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. You go out the way you wanted to as the undisputed UFC lightweight champion. How hard was this week for you overall?
It was my father's dream. What else? Dustin and Conor going to fight January. I choke him out, both of them. I'm not interested for this. I'm not interested for this. One more thing. Моих болельщиков. Если скажу для болельщиков с России, будет неправильно. Просто скажем для всех русскоговорящих. Большое вам спасибо. В 2008 году, когда я начинал это, и когда в 2012 году я первый раз дрался, подписали в UFC, очень многие не верили, очень многим это было невозможным. Я простой парнишка из обычного горного села Дагестана. Приехал сюда. Вчера мне брат даже говорит... Google сказал, говорит, что ты самый обсуждаемый человек на планете. Я просто не мог в это поверить. Почему? Потому что просто вы сами представляете, да? У меня даже в голове этого всего не было. Я просто хотел месяц с отцом, мы шли. Просто хотел стать чемпионом. У меня даже в мыслях не было, что вот так все может на мои плечи обрушиться. Альхамдулилля. Если у вас есть родители, будьте рядом с ними, и все. У меня один остался родитель, это моя мама. Я хотел бы побольше времени ей уделить.
You have left an indelible imprint on this sport, and we congratulate you as you walk away 29-0. There's only one Khabib Nurmagomedov. We wish you a safe trip home, and we look forward to your UFC Hall of Fame induction in a few years. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, DC. I love you, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, the undisputed UFC lightweight champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov.
So the guy speaks all that Russian, and the Mexican guy doesn't interpret him? I mean, come on, man. What was going on there? What did Khabib have to say? I mean, we want to know what Khabib had to say. They should have translated that. No, mind that, a little broadcasting shortcomings there. But ESPN's got it going on as far as their pay-per-views are concerned. I mean, the boxing and the and their straight fights and the fact that ESPN Plus has got both fights on ESPN and ESPN Plus, both boxing and mixed martial arts, ESPN is doing a good job. I'm not knocking them. So Khabib's a winner over Justin Gaethje. The co-feature, Robert Whittaker, the former world middleweight champion. I think he lost his title when he got injured like in the dressing room or something like that. Took out Jason Carriner. It was a unanimous nod across the board, 2-1. Of course, they fight 3 5-minute rounds. Alexander Volkov knocked out Walt Harris. Walt Harris is my favorite guy when it comes to names. But here's what's up. Walt Harris got in shape for this fight. He really did. But, you know, you're not a heavyweight, man. You're like a light heavyweight. He just didn't realize he's really a small heavyweight. And Alexander Volkov is a big heavyweight. And a body kick and punches ended that fight at 115 of the second round. Outside of the rest of the card, Ty Tavusa knocked out Stevan Struve. Stevan Struve once challenged for the light heavyweight championship against John Jones. Of course, he went the route. Outside of that, not a whole lot on the card. Of course, last week, the Korean Zombie got lit up like by Brian Ortega. Not that
It was the biggest upset in the history of the world, of course, but it was a big upset in the world of MMA. I mean, it was a 2.5-1 underdog. We'll talk about Brian Ortega, of course, 18-1, comes to us undefeated at one point in time out of L.A. Of course, I had that fight with Max Holloway about 2 years ago. That destroyed him, I thought, as a fighter. I thought it destroyed him, like, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, the whole nine yards. I didn't think he'd ever come back from that. He's got his team. He put a new team back together. He, of course, he took on the Korean Zombie, and Korean Zombie was supposed to win that fight, according to the oddsmakers. Well, guess what? Didn't work out that way. I'm talking about Brian Ortega winning a 5-round decision, going away, winning every round, no doubt about that, and looking dominant. At the end of the night, Brian Ortega looks like he's still got flash, but I still see permanent lumps in him. And when I say permanent lumps, I mean that when you look at a guy, He's just not the same. I mean, boxing or MMA or the combat sports, whatever you want to say, the residual effects, they sort of look like they're there with Brian Ortega already. In fact, he sort of talks a little differently than he did a couple of years ago. And these are some of the things that you notice as fighters, you know, mature. I mean, they're mature. They speak differently as they mature, this and that. But when the residual effects of combat sports, when they start to take hold and they start to take effect, things start to happen. Some guys start to forget. Some guys don't talk so well. Other guys, you can look at them and one eye's looking at you and the other eye's looking the other way. I mean, these are all signs of the residual effects in combat sports. And I was talking earlier about the dirtiness of this, of MMA and UFC. I don't know. You get kneed in the head, you cannot recover to the point where I think you can come back and fight again. I just don't think so. I think if you get kneed in the head, if you get that type of impact to your head, you get kicked that hard, I just don't think you should be able to come back. I think your brain's really been damaged. It's been injured. It's going to bleed to an extent. That's what a concussion is a brain bleed. Okay, so you don't want your brain bleeding that often, especially in the world of combat sports. Some people say to me, Sidney Hall, the attorney down there in San Jose, California, formerly out of Burlingame, California, of course, the guy that brought Manny Pacquiao to the forefront of United States boxing, brought him to Murad Muhammad. Before you knew it, Manny was a superstar. But he tells me that he thinks that concussions are in every sparring session. He thinks that every time you get clipped with anything, anytime there's any impact to the head, that there's a mini concussion going on. So maybe I get Sidney Hall on the show to talk about that in the near future. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA live in the hour number two. Of course, I'm bringing you to the UK. Actually, the UK is coming to us. That's right. We'll talk boxing, of course, with my buddy Kenny from across the pond. Of course, who's in the news? The world heavyweight champion, at least one of them. I mean, Tyson Fury is really a guy. He says he's going to fight in December. We'll talk with my guest about that. And we'll also talk about Anthony Joshua, 2012 Olympic gold medalist. Is he the real deal? I used to think he was. Now I don't think he is at all. Of course, getting beat by Auntie Louise. Straight up, Rolls Royce to the break. This is Ring Talk.
It's my head, Doc. It's my head.
Dizzy? Ringing in your ears?
Well, I mean, it's all the time, Doc.
Like bells?
That's it, Doc, like bells. Huh? That Doc.
How do they go? Dong dong, ding ding, or ding dong? It's important.
Ding dong? Dong ding?
No second guessing. Too bad. Should go dong dong.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Something new from the mighty Tower of Power. They call it the Soul Side of Town. They got it going on with that new LP album, digital release CD. I don't know what they sell anymore. Bottom line is, I get my music off YouTube. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You know, every time I ran over somebody when they would send me down to the Valley and I went to go down to the Valley. Otis Grimble would send me down to the Valley to qualify for these other tournaments, and I go down to the Valley, and I beat some guy, and that really, you know, wasn't much to beat. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times they quit in the corner and things like that, but I didn't brag, and I didn't boast about that. I didn't come back and say, you know what? I busted, you know, because the guy wasn't much. You know what I'm saying? So when I saw this guy, super bantamweight, 122-pounder, Belmar Pichardo, celebrating the other night after knocking out a guy in 19 seconds, I said to myself, well, look at the guy he knocked out in 19 seconds. His name was Rodolfo Hernandez, okay? He was 30-9 coming in. What were the odds of him going to be 30-10? Pretty good. 19 seconds, a left hook to the body, brought Hernandez down on the deck to end it. But let me tell you, get hit with a body shot, never been dropped with a body shot, but I drop people with body shots, and you know what? They don't get up, and when they do get up, they're weakened. Hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, forthcoming here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. Of course, I can go on and on and on, but the bottom line is we're rocking and rolling. Hour number two, Kenny Rainford will be here. We'll talk, of course, and also UK boxing, as far as European boxing is concerned, the heavyweight championships, of course, both are from the UK. And we'll also hear from, how about Chuck Wepner? Remember Chuck Wepner? Yeah, he was the guy that sort of the whole Rocky movie thing was based on. That's right, Sylvester Stallone stole his idea, had to pay him off a bunch of years later, but he stole his idea, created the Rocky movies, and of course that was about Chuck Wepner. We'll talk with Chuck Wepner in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course. Coming up after the news, it's Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Now, if you listen live, this is our 11 a.m. Pacific time, Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific, and we go live. And, of course, we can also catch us on many podcasts, including Anchor.com, the Ring Talk Live Worldwide podcast at Anchor.com. Stay tuned for hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide after the news. Hello.